If you want peace, that comes with a mindset.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the benefits of adding focus to our faith.
With God's point of view comes God's presence, and with God's presence comes life and peace.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When you take stock of what's going on in your life, Dr. Evans says your perception depends on your perspective. Today, he explains how we can see life from a more peaceful point of view. Let's join him.
Whether it's within the heart or the home or the church or the broader society, turmoil rules today. Some perhaps would not use the word turmoil, they'd just say drama. Today's name for God is Jehovah Shalom. The translation is the Lord is peace. We read in verse 1 of Judges chapter 6, the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. They had rebelled against God, and the consequence of their rebellion was enslavement to that which they were supposed to hold in slavery. They had rebelled against God. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. So God let the enemy win instead of letting them win in the promised land. So you can be in the promised land and at the same time out of the will of God. You can be in the place where you're supposed to be, but functioning out of the will of God so that you're losing where you ought to be winning. You're defeated where you ought to have victory. That was their situation. The Midianites, the enemies of God and God's people, were allowed by God to hold God's people hostage for 7 years. 7 years they had to deal with defeat and non-victory. This was so bad that the people had to run for protection, verse 2 says, into the dens, that is, into the caves, in order to hide from the Midianites who would descend upon them, verse 4 and 5, and destroy their property. They came like locusts, verse 5 says. In other words, there were so many of them, they couldn't count. And they're coming away, Israel had never seen before, on camelback. They came on camelback in hordes and overran, Israel overran their crops. It's a bad thing to have planted your year's worth of crop and have the enemy take it. Verse 6. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian. The angel of the Lord comes in verse 11 and sits down under the oak. There's a young man there named Gideon, verse 11 says, who was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midians. So here we are. We're now introduced to a man named Gideon. And the angel of the Lord says to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Right now, he's not a valiant warrior, but God tells him what God is going to make him become. Gideon said to him in verse 13, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why is all this happening to us? And where are all the miracles which our father told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian." Isn't that your question? If God is for me, where is he? If God says he's going to be my God, I can't find him. He says, I can't find God in all this drama. He says, where is he? I can't find him. He really answers his own question. I'm not sure whether he knew it or not, but he answers it at the end of verse 13. He says, "But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian." He says, if the Lord is with us, why has he abandoned us? Okay, so here it is. God is with us in the general sense because we're his children. God is only with us in the specific sense when we are with him. In the general sense, he's with you. You're a child of God, son of God, daughter of God. Yes. But in the specific sense, that is, in my drama, He is with you when you are with him. If you are not with him, you will not experiencing him being with you. Me or us. The Lord looked at him and said in verse 14, go in your strength, that is with the ability that I've given you, and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? He calls an ordinary man to an extraordinary task. And he was going to use the same man who had the questions. He was questioning God, but he was also humble before God. Well, Gideon hears this, and he says, look, I got to be sure. I got to be sure, because I'm going to go out here and get myself killed. I have to be sure. Verse 17, if I now have found favor in your sight, show me a sign that it is you who is speaking to me. I need to be sure I'm not dreaming. I need to be sure this is for real. I need to be sure this is not a mirage. I need to be certain that this is you. So he goes and gets some meat. He gets some unleavened bread. He gets some broth. He makes himself a stew. He puts the stew down in front of the angel of the Lord, verse 21. And the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Wow. He brings the meat, the unleavened bread, the broth, puts it down there, no fire. The angel of the Lord touches the rock that is sitting on, and not only does it light up, it's cooked to nothingness. And the angel disappears. And Gideon decides, yep. This is real. He asked God, here it is, to verify his presence. That's what he asked. Verify that this is you talking. Because sometimes you're not sure. Is this God? Is this me? Is this real? Is this Memorex? I am not sure. So I need certainty here because this is too serious. When Gideon, verse 22, saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Because the angel of the Lord is the same as O Lord God. It was God being manifested in a visible form. The Lord said to him, here it is, peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die. Why did the angel tell him that? Because you couldn't live and see God. Says, don't worry, you're not going to die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, here it is, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. So that raises the question, doesn't it? What is peace? Let me tell you what peace is not. Peace is not a truce. Peace is not simply ceasefire. Because a lot of people who cease fire still live in a cold war. You may not be fighting and fussing with your mate all day. You're just not talking to each other. And you think a cold war equals peace. That's just truce. It's just ceasefire. The word shalom means whole, complete, or well-being. It is to have things ordered. Or to say it as we say, no more drama. Peace is well-being in spite of circumstances because me and God are on the same page. Isaiah 57 verses 20 to 21 says that sin interrupts peace. It says there is no peace for the wicked and those who are in rebellion against God. Just like the Midians were allowed to overrun Israel, God allows hell to overrun us when we are disconnected from him by sin. If you and I are unwilling to address the sin, don't look for the peace. You can't have it. You can get distractions, you can create distractions to help you forget how bad things really are. But peace is when you don't have to create artificial distraction. An unwillingness to address the sin is a refusal to receive the peace. To see God put it together in your heart, home, you know, church, society, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Don't misquote that. Doesn't say the money is peace. Doesn't say the position is peace, the power is peace, the job is peace, the relationship is peace. Doesn't say any of that. It says Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. So that raises the question, how do I get it? Okay, I got it, but how do I get it? Because I need it. You need it. We need it. I may not be able to change my circumstances right now, but how do I get the inner well-being to deal with it and be whole? How do I get the ability to handle my drama the same way Gideon did? How did Gideon get it? Well, we just looked at it. You know how Gideon got it? One simple way, yet it's profound. He got peace when he knew the Lord was with him. He has not yet fought the Midianites. He's not yet solved the problem of the Midianites. The Midianites are still an issue. But he builds an altar, has a worship service before his problem has been solved. He didn't get peace because he's whipped the Midianites, because he hasn't whipped the Midianites yet. They're still out there like hordes. But he builds an altar and praises God for peace. He praises God for peace not because his situation has changed. He's praising God for peace because God has showed up in his situation. It is the realization of the divine presence that gives him the peace. You can go whatever you want to go, spend whatever you want to spend, do whatever you want to do. If God is not in the middle of it, you won't have peace. The best you'll get is deflection, not peace.
Dr. Evans will tell us more about the spiritual way to deal with the drama in our lives when he returns in a moment with more of this message from his series, Living Above the Circumstances. This 15-sermon collection talks about how God cares for you and meets your needs as you overcome fear, worry, anxiety, and some of the thorniest problems life can throw at you. We want to help you experience what it's like to have deep, abiding peace no matter what's going on. So we're offering this entire 2-volume collection with our thanks for your gift of any amount toward Tony's ministry. So visit us today at TonyEvans.org, where you can find all the details and make your request before this offer runs out on Thursday. While you're there, be sure to check out the latest info on a pair of events designed for your church's leadership team. The first is the Kingdom Agenda Leadership Expo, coming up April 30th through May 1st in Dallas. It's followed immediately by the Pastor Summit from May 1st through the 3rd. Your leaders will come back equipped with proven strategies they can put right to work in children's ministry, worship, media, administration, finance, and every other area of church operations. Again, details are waiting for you at TonyEvans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you right after part two of today's lesson. Here's Dr. Evans.
Gideon was going to put together an army of 34,000 men or something, and God said, nah, too many, 300, that's all I need. Wait a minute. You want me to go out there, look like a fool, in front of all of those armies with the 300 Spartans? You want me to go out there with the 300? That's all you want? No, Gideon, that's all I need. Give me 300 of the right. Not 34,000 will look good with numbers. He tells him in chapter 7, he says, just HBO, you help a brother out? Sneak over there and listen to what the enemy is saying. So he did a little surveillance and went over there and they heard some of the guys talking and some of the Midianites were talking and they said, them Israelites gonna kill us. They didn't know God had already gotten them scared. He'd already got them shaken up. He'd already got them. They were already beaten. That's why God only needed 300. Because he knew some information. He had some inside scoop. That raises the last question. My question, your question, our question. How do I get to know that he's there? Since him being there is the key to peace, how do I get to know that he's there? Look at Romans chapter 8. Let me read verses 5 through 7. For those who are, Romans 8, verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh, set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. He says, if you want to have peace, you got to set your mind. You need a mindset. If you want peace, and peace is tied to divine presence, that comes with a mindset. The mindset on the flesh is death. And death is separation from God. That's what death is. He's talking to Christians. The mindset on the human point of view, the man perspective, the world's perspective. You don't even have to be following the devil. You just got to be mannish. The Bible calls it carnally minded. That does not operate with the mindset of the Spirit. What's the mindset of the Spirit? God's point of view. Another way of saying the Spirit's mind is God's point of view. God's view of a matter is the Spirit mind. You must set it. Because if you won't set it, you won't use it. See, if your mindset is earthly, that's what you're going to use. He says the mindset, the frame of thinking that you operate by, must be spirit, that is God's point of view. And with God's point of view comes God's presence. And with God's presence comes life and peace. If you want God's presence, you must have his mindset. If you do not have his mindset, you do not have his presence. If you do not have his presence, you do not experience his life. If you do not experience his life, you don't share his peace. If you want his peace, you have to have his life. To have his life is to have his presence. To have his presence, you have to have his mindset. I don't have to set my clock. I don't really have to set my clock. And the reason why is over the years, like many of you, I wake up early. I wake up at 3:30 or 4. I wake up early. I just wake up, eyes pop open. There was a time when I had to set my clock if I wanted to get up early. But now I don't have to set my clock externally because it's been set internally. I got an inside clock. And the inside clock tells me to get up because I've gotten so used to operating by a clock. It's not that it's not set. It's just not set externally. It's now just set up in my frame of reference because I automatically wake up. That didn't just happen. That happened coming from setting it intentionally, and then I began to operate because I'd gotten used to operating that way. You see, if you're not used to operating in the Spirit, you got to intentionally set it until you've done it enough, till you are built in to respond that way. See, so many of us have been so carnal for so long that our inside clock is set carnally. We don't have to try to be sinful. We don't have to try to be unrighteous. We don't have to try to be rebellious. The clock just goes off because it's been set that way for so long. So you must reset the clock intentionally until you learn to get up to God's point of view. And when you learn to get up to God's point of view, it will be set that way so that that will be your reaction, and you will know it's your reaction, because when you don't react that way, that will become odd. It'll be, you'll feel weird when you go back to the old world time, because you've been so used to operating on the God set. But if that's foreign to you, because you only said it on Sunday and you ignore it Monday through Saturday, you're carnally minded, that is fleshly minded, that is worldly minded, that is man oriented, then what you forfeit is shalom, because Jehovah gives shalom. Only Jehovah gives shalom. The world gives distraction. Have you ever been at a concert and you hear the orchestra warm up and you listen to all the discord? You know, the violinist trying to get everything tweaked, and the guitar is trying to get everything. And you just got a bunch of noise. Sounds like chaos. Then all of a sudden, out of the shadows comes the conductor with the stick, and he taps it. And the noise, discord calms down, and he raises it. And he wrings out his arms. And all of a sudden, that which was chaos before he showed up becomes harmonious when he shows up. Before he showed up, ain't nothing but drama. It's a bunch of noise that does not relate to anything. It's everybody doing their thing and nothing connected with nobody else. But when he shows up and makes his presence known and raises his arms, all of a sudden, what was discord now becomes harmony. Everybody's on the same page. It makes sense. It brings blessing. Why? Not because it was that way. It was because when the conductor showed up, his presence changed what was happening in the room. Our problem is we're trying to make music with the conductor off stage, and we're wondering why there's so much drama when we keep the conductor outside, and wonder why we can't have good music in my heart, in my home, in the church, in the world, but we want the conductor to stay outside or just make an appearance and leave again. He wants to run the orchestra. And by his presence, harmony prevails.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final question you need to answer if you want that kind of harmony in your life. First, though, a quick reminder about that special offer I mentioned earlier. Between now and Thursday, if you can help us keep Tony's teaching on this station by making a donation of any amount, we'll send you all 15 CDs in Tony's current series, Living Above the Circumstances, as our gift in appreciation. Again, this special offer ends on Thursday, so don't wait. Call us right away at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center never closes, so don't wait. 1-800-800-3222. Or visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements. While you're there, follow along with Tony as he takes us through the Bible on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This week, we're looking together at Ephesians 6. That's TonyEvans.org. The Bible tells us to run away from temptation. But when it's coming from your emotions, there's no easy way to escape. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about the feelings that control us and how you can decide who directs your thoughts. Right now, though, he's back with this final comment for today.
The question is, do you want peace? Only one person gives it, Jehovah Shalom. But he only gives it on his terms. I will keep him in perfect peace, Isaiah 26 says, whose mind is stayed on me. I will keep him in perfect peace. You want to know why you're not losing your mind when everything around you has lost its mind? Why are you not crazy when your world is crazy? Why are you together when things are falling apart? Because the conductor has been allowed to make his presence known in your mind.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.